It had been hit by heavier munitions than she'd seen in play from the hexes before. Either Zandrick's droids had evolved again, or they'd knocked something from above off course. Maybe, she thought, that was what the emplacement had been firing at right before she'd destroyed it. Bombardment deflected just enough to hit the invading forces. It was going to take ages for the dust to settle, but at least the comms had cleared. She got up and put out a call for all officers to report in. Hetchke spoke up from the other side of the dome, and one Imperial lieutenant. No others. No Major Cha. A silver shape flashed through the clouds above, glinting in the sun.
Is that you, Stryver?
She called.
Tell me what you see up there.
One of the major subspace sources is right under your feet,
the Mandalorian replied.
Why put it so far from the CI?
She didn't know the answer to that question, and the calm dissolved into static again before she could ask him anything else. She signaled her trooper to follow her back to the trench. The rest of the squad had reformed and were packing up the launchers, preparatory to moving elsewhere. Lorin didn't know what her next objective should be. Keep taking out towers? Try to find the others? Without Major Cha, it was going to be difficult to coordinate everyone who remained. As she hastily considered her options, the black surface at the bottom of the trench shifted. She looked down at her feet and saw a ripple pass through the rubbery black material. It shifted again, and a deep subterranean groan surrounded her.
Move! She told the squad. If this whole thing is a door, then...
The world fell out from under her before she could finish the sentence. She lunged and barely caught the nearest edge of the trench. The black surface had dissolved, as though its molecular structure had suddenly changed from a solid to a liquid. Two troopers fell into blackness, firing at nothing. Their shots ceased after less than a second. Lorin hauled herself out of the suddenly bottomless trench. Another groan shook the air. The opposite walls lurched apart. 10 meters, 20 meters. She was standing with half the squad on the edge of an ever-widening trench. On the other side, the rest of her troopers receded into the distance. The dome was unfolding, sliding finger-like segments of roof into deep recesses at its edge and releasing a vast upwelling of warmer air. Tendrils of fog sprang into being, mixing with the smoke and creating strange shapes all around her. She looked down and saw something huge and indistinct stirring. Whatever it was, the hexes must have been building it non-stop, using all the prodigious resources of the metal and energy-rich world.
What is that thing?
One of her troopers asked, loud enough to be heard without a comm.
I don't know, she said. But those look like repulsors. There, around its edge.
It's a ship? Shaped like that? Where are its engines?
A crazy thought occurred to her.
Maybe there aren't any.
The troopers looked at her like she was talking gibberish. The segment of dome they were standing on was nearing the edge of the roof.
We can't stay here much longer,
she told what was left of the squad.
I advise you to get ready to jump.
Down under that?
Asked one, pointing at the object rising toward them.
I think it's a skyhook,
she said, bracing herself.
So we won't be going down for long.
Chapter 39. Shigar stepped out of his jet chute harness and stared in horror at the bubbling, bright red lake where his intended landing site had been. He had watched